Would you turn in your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 is our text this morning. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It's the first Sunday in December, so I thought we'd kick off the Christmas season by looking at a Christmas message, the message of our wonderful Savior. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I'd like to read that over again, and as I get to the names, would you read those names with me as well? "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You may be seated. At this time of the year, Christians and many lost people are thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ. We sing the songs of Christmas and we tell the story of his coming into the world. We read the passages from the Bible that speak of his birth. We perform Christmas plays and programs to commemorate his birth. We give gifts to each other to remind ourselves of the gifts that the wise men gave to Jesus. We also give gifts to remind ourselves of the greatest gift of all, the gift that God gave his only begotten Son, God's greatest gift ever given to humanity. This is a wonderful day when God became flesh and walked among us and we beheld his glory. So I want to continue this tradition by looking into one of my favorite verses associated with the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a favorite because it presents Christ in his fullness. It's something that very few verses rarely do. And as you meditate and think about that verse and reflect upon the names given for our Savior there, you could probably never ever exhaust the meanings of those names. This verse presents Jesus coming, dying, and coming again. This verse reveals much of the activity of Jesus in the lives of his people. This verse only contains 39 words, but those 39 words contain a portrait of the life of Christ in miniature. And while there may be 39 words in this verse, the world itself could not contain the volumes that could be written to exhaust its content. And so today I would like us to look closer at this verse. I want us to discover why heaven calls Jesus wonderful. It's a land. Heaven is a land of wonder. There are many things that are wonderful in heaven, but one thing is picked out above all the rest, and that's Jesus. He's wonderful. He stands out of the wonder of wonders in a land of wonders. And so there has to be a reason why. Let's examine the evidence today from our text. And I'll preach for a while on this thought, our wonderful Savior. Let me show you three areas where this verse says that Jesus is wonderful. First of all, he is wonderful in his humanity. It says a child is born. A child is born, bringing to mind his humanity. Jesus may have been born, but he was no ordinary baby. He was flesh, but he was still God, the miracle of the incarnation. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In fact, the birth of Jesus Christ was anything but ordinary. It was not ordinary in its announcement. Here's how Luke describes it in chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What an announcement! Angels all over the place, the birth of Jesus Christ, came to announce the greatest event in all of history. It wasn't an ordinary thing, but it was tremendous. It wasn't ordinary in its accomplishment. Isaiah in chapter 7 and verse 14 says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A divine accomplishment took place. Jesus was born of a virgin, and he became Emmanuel, which means God with us. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32 says, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. It was anything but ordinary in its accompaniment. Although Jesus was and is God in the flesh, he was also a helpless babe. Can you imagine? The God of the universe always had everything at his control. Came to this earth to be born a helpless baby. The wonder of the Creator placing his very welfare in the hands of his creatures, those he created. The wonder of the Creator depending on the creature for his food and nourishment. No wonder they call him wonderful. That Jesus would leave the splendor of heaven, where he's ministered to by angels, and come to this earth to be born in a humble stable, to be ministered to by human beings, by those he created. He is wonderful in his humanity. Don't ever downplay his humanity. Don't ever downplay the fact that God became man. The Word eternal became flesh and dwelt among us. The wonder of the incarnation. No wonder they call him wonderful. He was wonderful in his humanity. He was also wonderful in his humility. Son is given, calls to mind his deity and his death. Brings to my mind John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Even though Jesus was the Son of Man, he was also the Son of God. He was more than just a man. He was the God-man. The verse reminds us that Jesus was the Son of God. By the way, believing that is essential to salvation. You must believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. John chapter 20 and verse 31 says, But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. There is no other way to have eternal life. There is no other way to go to heaven except by believing in the only begotten Son of God. But the little phrase is given literally means to be delivered up. He reminds us that Jesus, this God-man, came into the world for a singular purpose. He came for one reason. He came to deliver this world from sin and to deliver himself up as a ransom for sin on the cross of Calvary. That is the only reason that Jesus came. And if you miss that, you miss everything. The reason for Christmas is that Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for all. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 and says, And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we think of the price he paid to save our souls, think about that this morning. Think about the price that he paid to save your soul. the spitting, the beating, the nailing, the rejecting, the hating, the abusing. What other word is there to describe him but wonderful? When you read Matthew 27, you read the account of his crucifixion, and you read about the horrors of that day that he died, what else could you say? What else could you call him but wonderful? You know, it's not something that Jesus walked into blindly. He knew all along what he would have to suffer. He knew what he would have to go through. He knew what people would do to him. And yet he willingly chose to lay down his life for you and me. He is wonderful, number three, in his honor. The honor of his position. We are told that the government shall be upon his shoulder. That phrase encompasses some great truths. First of all, the honor of his position. And then this son was given, who died on the cross, would rise again. And that's just what he did. Matthew describes it this way: in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Second, this phrase takes us many years into the future. When this risen one comes again to earth to reign in glory. The second advent of Jesus is in view here. He is returning to the world, not as the Lamb, but as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is returning not to die, but to reign. He's coming at a time when he will put down every evil, and he will rule the world, and there will be peace upon the earth. The first time he came as a Savior to die, the next time he will come as a King to conquer. And look yet how the world treats him today. People mock him, people scorn him, even to this day. But one day, even those who said, we have no king but Caesar, even those people will fall at his feet and worship him. They will bow before him in honor and exalt him on that glorious day. May we never forget that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May we never forget who he is. He's going to be enthroned in this world. He's going to rule. But I want to ask you today, is he enthroned in your heart? Is he sitting there as Lord? Is he ruling your life today? And then the honor of his person. Notice that Jesus is given several names in this verse, but that the verse calls him by the singular noun name. It doesn't say his names are. His name is. Why is that? I think it's because he is all these things at the same time. In his name, we find out more about who he is. One name given there is wonderful. He is wonderful. The word means supernatural, extraordinary, and even secret. In Judges chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? You see, there are some things about the Lord we don't even know yet. Our finite minds could not comprehend. He is all of these things listed in Isaiah, and he's much more than that. Those names were given so that somehow in our limited understanding we could try to grasp his glory and who he is. We'll never be able to grasp it until we meet him face to face. And we see how truly wonderful and magnificent he really is. But the name points out the truth that there is nothing common about Jesus. He's the miracle man. He is so far beyond our level of comprehension that we could never figure him out. And yet he can be known by a little child. Something mysterious. No wonder they call him wonderful. He's counselor. This word means to advise, counsel, give purpose, devise and plan. It refers to his role as the leader and guiding force of our lives. He is wonderfully qualified to be the job of counselor. He has the age and the experience. He's all eternal. He's the Ancient of Days. He has the knowledge. He has the education. His price is right. We can come to him. He doesn't charge us a thing. Come, drink freely of the water of life. He is always available 24/7. You only need to call upon him in prayer and he'll answer. You don't need an appointment. He's always available for you. He's always available for any of us at any single time and all the time. And we don't have to stand in line. We'll never get a busy signal. If one of you are talking to him, the rest of us can jump in and talk too. And he deals with us individually. He always gives perfect advice. He'll never ever steer you wrong. He'll never give you a piece of bad information. He'll never offer bad counsel. His counsel is always right, always wise, always best. And his motives are always pure. He's not looking out for himself. He's concerned about you. When you come to him, he gives you his undivided attention, and he is only concerned about you and what you are going through. Even on the cross, he took no heed for himself. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Says to the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He says to John, take care of my mother. He was always concerned about everybody else. His motives are always pure, always right. He'll never take advantage of you. He is the mighty God. This word means hero. It refers to one who is strong, mighty, and invincible. He alone is worthy to be our hero because he has defeated all of our enemies, enemies that nobody else could defeat. Christ has defeated. He's defeated the enemy of death. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. First fruits means he's just the first. There are others that will follow. You and I will follow. He is the victor over sin. He brought salvation to all men. All who call upon him can be saved. He died potentially for the sins of the whole world. And if you trust him and believe in him, he'll save you from your sins. He is the victor over the grave. He defeated the enemy of the grave so that death no longer has sting. The grave no longer has victory over the child of God. He has defeated eternity. There is no beginning, there is no end with Jesus Christ. He is forever. We are a moment. He is forever. He is eternal. He's a mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. There's never been a time when he was not, and there will never be a time when he will not be. He is the great I am. By the way, if you are saved, your life is tied to his, and you will live only as long as he does. So how long is that? This verse also says that he is our Father. This word means producer or generator. In other words, he is our source. He brought us into being and he sustains our lives by his power. He fulfills his role of Father by loving us, supporting us, sustaining us, comforting us, and providing for us. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. This phrase refers to the fact that he will rule his kingdom in peace. How can he do that? By being the creator and provider of peace. And those who know him know all about his peace. You know all about his peace today. He provides peace with God for us. We're reconciled to God because of Jesus Christ. No longer enemies of God, but now we can be friends of God. We can have the relationship. He can be our Father. We can be his children only because of what Christ did. Old preachers used to talk about, do you have the peace? Have you made your peace with God? You know, you can only make peace with God through Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I hope you're here today and you have made your peace with God. If you have not made your peace with God, you need to come to Christ today. This is the reason that he was born into this world, was to forgive you of your sins and offer you peace. He comes to offer you peace with yourself. Sometimes people aren't at peace with themselves. They're full of trouble and care and sorrow and woes. Jesus Christ wants to bring peace to your heart today so that you can say, I have peace in my heart. I'm at peace with myself. And he has come that you might have peace with others. He breaks down the walls of separation. And he comes to offer us peace. He is a great peacemaker. When all of this is taken together and considered, I just have to say, no wonder they call him wonderful. I could not begin to describe to you his wonder. If my vocabulary was larger than anybody's vocabulary in the entire world, I could not describe him adequately to you today. Sometimes we just have to leave with words like awesome and wonderful and reserve those for God. Reserve those for Christ. In John chapter 4, we are told of a woman who met Jesus at a well one day. After she met him, she went away from that well. She ran into the city and she invited the people of that city to come and see him. Come see a man, she said. In essence, she was saying, all my life I have been looking for Mr. Wonderful. And I finally found him. Well, he's wonderful, and here's why. He is a physician who never loses a case, never loses a patient. He is a captain who never loses a battle. He is a teacher who perfectly teaches every student. He is a preacher who always preaches the right message. He is a musician who always plays the right note. He is an artist who never misses a stroke. He is a savior who completely saves all who come to him. He is a master who leads us in the right direction. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is a counselor who always gives the right advice. He's Mr. Wonderful. If you know Jesus as your personal savior, then you know why they call him wonderful. Maybe you would just like to come before him today, reaffirm your commitment to him, and express your thanks and gratitude to him for his blessings in your life. If you don't know him and have you spent your life looking for Mr. Wonderful, then look no farther, because you have come face to face with him right here. If you will come to him, you can be saved, and you too will know why we call him wonderful. It's no wonder they call him wonderful. You know why now. Maybe you're here today and you have some business that you need to do with him. Could I have your head bowed and your eyes closed? I would like to take us back to those three areas where Christ wants to bring peace. He wants to bring peace, first of all, with you and God. He wants you to make your peace with God. The Bible says he is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. Are you here today and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I have not made my peace with God. I know that I'm not at peace with God. There are things in my life that prevent me from being at peace with him. There are some things today that I need to confess. Could I see your hand today that I might be able to pray for you? Amen. Amen. Anybody else here today? Pastor, pray for me. I'm going to make peace with God. You can do it right where you're sitting. Amen. Amen. Then is there anybody here? Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not at peace with myself. There are issues in my life. I don't have rest. Would you pray that God would give me peace? Peace with myself. Could I see your hand today? Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can put them down. And then the last area. You're here today, but you don't have peace with others. There's somebody that you're fighting against. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. I just point you to Jesus Christ today. He is your peace. He has come, He as the Prince of Peace, to bring peace in all these relationships, in all these situations. Lord, today there are many that are looking for peace. What a privilege it is today for me to be able to point them to you who are the Prince of Peace. Lord, for those that right now are trying to make peace with you, I pray, Lord, that you would let your love and comfort and forgiveness overshadow them this morning. Lord, that they would have peace in their heart, knowing that they have made it right with you. Lord, I thank you for your word, which tells us that you have made us accepted in the Beloved. You've accepted us as we are. Thank you for that. May your children here today feel that acceptance. Lord, I pray for those that are not at peace with themselves. Lord, I pray that you would give them grace to forgive themselves and to accept themselves. Do a mighty work in their heart, Lord. Give the peace that passes all understanding. And then, Lord, for those that are not at peace with their fellow man, Lord, give them the grace. Give them the courage. Give them the meekness to make peace and to live at peace. Your word says, blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, help them to be peacemakers today. We show that we are your children when we are able to make peace with others. We leave these situations in your hands, knowing that you will continue to work, knowing that you ever live to make intercession for us. As our great high priest, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All praise to Him who reigns above, in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Couple minutes before noon. Did you get that song typed in? Isn't He Wonderful? You know this chorus? It's not in this hymnal. It was in our older one. We'll sing just the chorus of this.
my Lord, wonderful. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
It's a little bit different than that, I guess. Let's sing it the way we know it, all right?
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?